Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of February, recording at 9:18 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights on another day dominated by commodities and the U.S. dollar. First, though, in stock markets, Asian bourses were mixed. The Hang Seng up a little bit. We had quite good gains coming from Thailand. Japan down a little bit. The China A-share index down a little bit. Australia hit partly or primarily, I think, by those weak Australian banks. And in Europe, we had some hefty gains, occasionally pushing above the 2% level today, as European indices backed away from the higher side of their trading ranges. And the U.S. markets seesawed a bit, but were down most of the day, seesawed in a negative territory, and closed with modest gains of about 0.8 to 0.9%. And in the currency market, now this is really a big story once again. The dollar was very weak for the third day in a row, and we haven't seen many strong days recently, have we? So extending its break into new low ground on the U.S. dollar index, currently is at 73.728. That's down 485 ticks. The euro is currently at 152.21, and that's near the high of the day. The Australian dollar up at 94.88, for example. Sterling, I don't think, did well. It's at 199.18, but it's all about the dollar here, really. More on that in a moment. And in the commodity markets, these were mostly rampant. I'm trying to see an exception. I see white sugar was an exception, mild decline in that. But wheat was a big exception. More on that in a moment. But we had solid gains from precious metals, with the gold currently trading at 970.40. Silver is trading up in the 1990s. That's May silver. So powerful stuff here. And the only precious metal that didn't score big gains in here today was platinum, which had lost upward momentum last week, as you know. And we had surges in soybeans and corn, wheat. Yes, I already mentioned that, much weaker. Crude oil, very strong, 102.52 as I speak. And in my chagrin, natural gas, where I got stopped out by a reaction yesterday, currently at $99.43. That's up 372 ticks. Okay. Oh, treasury bonds, big rebound in here today, up 2 full points on the futures. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we see that the bulls are congregating in the resources trades, the resources markets, and we see, it's been a battle between the short sellers and some tentative buyers, causing fairly tight ranging activity. Overall, we can expect plenty more of that. Again, I think that while so many people have expected an additional plunge, I rate that as only an outside chance, given the climactic activity that we saw on the 22nd of January. But where the credit problems have the biggest impact, and that's clearly in the US and the European economies, which are the slow growth areas comparatively. Markets are probably going to struggle for a while longer. That's hardly surprising. Yes, there'll be plenty more bad news coming out, as I've mentioned before. It'll be on a steady, almost daily drip feed basis. But the forecasters are, well, some of them at any rate, are backing away from the really alarmist Armageddon type comments. And the thing about a crisis, the behavioral point that I mentioned before, is that for a crisis to keep driving a market down, particularly after a selling climax, it has to be seen to be getting worse. And as I mentioned yesterday, while there's endless bad news, we also see some good news in terms of the major efforts by central banks to keep plenty of liquidity in the system, in terms of a wider yield curve enabling the banks to recapitalize themselves by borrowing cheaply from the Fed in the US, for instance, and pumping that money on a leveraged basis in the longer dated treasury markets to pick up the higher yield. And if the Fed can keep the bond vigilantes at bay through some buying of its own, even the occasional rally in the bond market to provide a little capital gain as well. And what else do we have here? Then we have the sovereign wealth funds that have been coming in, and of course banks are tightening their game a little bit, which means that they're going to be far more conservative going forward. That's also a problem for needy borrowers, but and it's a painful process overall. But what it will mean a year from now, clearly, is better banking policies overall and less reckless borrowing. Now, these are favorable factors for the stock market, as I've already mentioned, but expect lots of choppy ranging and some dull periods when people have exhausted themselves sufficiently in the choppy ranging activities in a cycle that I've said all along had been slowed by the problems that emerged early last year and lengthened overall. Meanwhile, fuller money themes are doing pretty well overall. Although again, I expect well, I should put it this way. I'm prepared to see a relatively flatter performance overall as opposed to the huge gains that we have seen in recent years. Now, if markets do better than that, it's going to be in the fuller money themes. Of that, I feel pretty confident. And for new subscribers, welcome, and new subscribers are coming in all the time, as you're probably aware. But a point worth repeating is that those fuller money themes, the big long-term secular themes, are very much headed up by Asian. I'm not going to talk about emerging markets anymore. I refer to them now, my new classification is progressing markets. And of course, then there are regressing markets, regressing economies. And unfortunately, the USA has been in that category, that latter category, for some time. And much of Europe is in that latter category, but the most of the Asian economies are not. Japan is kind of on the demarcation line between it's Well, in terms of still trying to pull out of its long regressing phase, and it should do it, but again, it'll take time. And then the resources producers, which are booming, led by China, I beg your pardon, led by Brazil, got Australia in there among the developing economies, Canada, South Africa. Okay, so those are the areas that are going to remain very strong. Anything dealing with resources is likely to outperform most of the other areas. But of course, there are a lot of investors who won't want to be heavily overweight in the resources sector, or they'll want something else other than resources or fast growth markets such as China and India. And this is the time for them to consider, particularly the more conservative investors, is to consider a high yield equity funds. I think there are a lot of interesting plays or there, I should really say, a lot of opportunities there, because that's the virtue of the setback. Share prices come down, the yields go up, and that's a good time to park some money in the high yield equity funds. Okay, now you might just say, or you might think, well, why haven't you done that yourself, David? Well, I'm staying with the main secular fuller money themes, but I've got a high yield deposit account currently in New Zealand dollars, although I'm of half a mind to switch it. It's doing quite well there, but I'm of half a mind to switch it to the Brazilian real, where I could get a considerably higher yield, and that's the real is also an appreciating currency. My, how the world has changed in this decade, and it really is a paradigm shift. And at the center of it is the embracing and of capitalism by so many more countries with big populations. That started in the previous decade, of course, but we're really seeing the fruits of that change in economic emphasis. And then the huge resources boom due to this rapid growth in many areas. And these become self-feeding themes. The resources exporters profit, and so then they build more infrastructure, which demands or requires more resources, and so on. You can see how it feeds back on itself in a sequence that I think will go on for a very, very long time. Okay, what about these bonds in here? Now, I lingered around my treasury bond short for a day too long, having allowed them to be automatically rolled forward yesterday, and I was stopped out today on that treasury bond short. And given the power of the upward dynamic, 2 points in that long bond, I'm not going to rush back in quickly. I'll hope for a better rally, but it's somewhat of a tricky situation. I mentioned before the Fed wanting to keep these bond yields, these long-dated bond yields, from backing up. In other words, they'll want those bond prices to remain relatively firm, because it's very, very important for the banks to recapitalize with the help of that yield curve. Now, historically, this has always been the way central banks have bailed out their banking sectors. They push short-term interest rates way down. The banks are able to borrow from the central bank at very low preferential short-term rates, and then put that money on a leveraged basis into the long-dated government bond markets. And part of the game is, and veteran subscribers will know that I've mentioned this before, And part of the game is that if fundamentals don't keep that bond market, long-dated government bond market, fairly steady, the buying in terms of those leverage trades from the banks will help to do that. And we will also see from time to time central banks go in and buy those bonds. Central banks are very active buyers and sellers of government bonds, as you probably realize. Now, so why did I have that short position, which was overall profitable despite having that profit certainly eroded by today's action? And the answer is that the inflationary pressures are building up. There's a tremendous amount of supply. A lot of money had retreated, investment money had retreated to bonds, and as investors are willing to peer up out of their equity foxholes, they will switch some of that money out of bonds. And there are the bond vigilantes that are going to say, I'm not going to accept Mickey Mouse yields below the rate of inflation, which is what you currently get with US 10-year treasuries. I'm not going to accept that. And therefore, when confidence does pick up in the financial sectors, the globe, and these weaker economies generally, I was going to say the global economy, but I'm really talking about these weaker economies generally. When that confidence does pick up, one of the reasons why it will pick up is because the commercial banks and the investment banks will have substantially recapitalized themselves. With the help of that yield curve, and therefore central banks will have the breathing space to look at trying to curb inflationary pressures once again. Short-term interest rates will start to go up. The bond markets will be quite weak. That's how I see it, at any rate. Now, what about this US dollar? Well, there's been an awful lot of commentary saying that this was the dollar's year and so on. I've never bought into that view. How could that be the case when you have such a weak US economy? Incidentally, there's one of the things that pushed Wall Street down and the European markets down is that the US GDP came in the fourth quarter revision. This is fourth quarter of 2007 at 0.6 of a percent. I would think it's virtually assured that we get a negative figure for the first quarter of this year. But that growth revision showed the U.S. economy as being a little weaker than most people were forecasting. But so you've got a weak U.S. economy. You've got a Fed that is throwing money at the economy, so increasing the supply of dollars. There are already plenty of dollars in circulation. Who wants to hold dollars? The people who hold most of them, foreign central banks, in addition to Americans, are trying to get out of their dollar liabilities. And no doubt, Forex traders who keep talking about dollar rallies would dearly love to see them rally strongly, so that they could short them again at a higher level. They want two-way trades, and they get nervous if the dollar goes herring down too far, because that will get other central banks screaming and possibly even intervening. Incidentally, just to remind, to mention it, the newer subscribers, and remind the veterans, I've said for years that I expected this dollar bear trend to eventually require multilateral central bank intervention. I don't think we're there yet. In other words, I don't think it's bad enough yet to trigger that. But it might well require that. On the other hand, if the US economy were to surprise people by recovering sooner rather than later, and I wouldn't bet on that. I don't think it'll fall completely apart, but as some are forecasting, but I think the next recovery might be relatively modest due to subdued consumer spending for one reason, more conservative banking policies. That's a good thing in the long term, as is the more subdued consumer spending. Reduce debt somewhat, start saving again. Those would be the foundations for a virtuous cycle going forward. But it would mean a generally soft, underperforming U.S. economy for quite some time. Okay, that's not. So my point is that as far as the U.S. dollar is concerned, for the dollar to recover quickly beyond a short covering rally, and we'll definitely get those. No trend moves in a straight line for very long. So those short covering rallies, for them to be sustainable, we would have to have a situation where the U.S. economy was surprising on the upside, and where the Fed was embarking on another one of its long phases of hiking short-term interest rates. Don't hold your breath. Okay, what about these precious metals? Well, they are benefiting from lack of appeal to a lot of other alternative investment possibilities. They are helped, of course, by the U.S. dollar. That's a good tailwind for the precious metals, but they're rising against all currencies as well. This is a maturing cycle, as I've mentioned before, but I've also said in the same breath that the latter stages in maturing medium-term cycle within the long-term uptrend for precious metals. But as I've said all along, the latter stage of the medium-term cycle is when you get the best gains, because there are the most participants. The momentum play is really running. My own personal strategy is to gradually cut back exposure in these markets. The alternative strategy is, of course, just to play it with stops, but that, to be really successful, that requires a minimum of volatility, and one might get lucky in that respect. In other words, you just get a straight line on the way up, and then it eventually comes down even faster. So that's often the case with accelerating markets, but at the moment, I've got trailing stops, and I, with silver, which is my biggest position, I have some profit-taking levels overhead. Of course, I can adjust those on a daily basis, and sometimes do. Now, what else to mention in here? The industrial metals. I wrote a feature on those yesterday, which, if you're interested in that sector and didn't have a chance to see the comment of the day, might have a look at, and they went gangbusters in here today. Big gains by nickel, and big gain by zinc. Although that, yes, a big gain by zinc as well. But they were all up, and I think that will definitely continue. If you look for bargains in the commodity area, I mean, foods have made all the running on the upside recently. So what are the bargains? Some of the industrial metals, such as, well, particularly zinc and nickel. And what are the areas within? Then there's lumber. That's another one that was that had been a disappointment to me, because I was hoping for a quickish recovery in lumber, and it fell back and moved down to another new low. It was quite strong in here today, up $5.70, fortunately, but that's only a little above my current purchase prices. But again, these are the cheap ones, and you know, they're going to attract attention here, given the strength that we're seeing elsewhere in this commodity sector. And I think also the demand, the actual demand from the people and firms, organizations, countries that consume these these products will remain very strong overall. Crude oil, same story. Strong industrial commodity here. So this is a super cycle, and a lot of people have been in denial about this for the last many years, and they've been quite wrong. And this super cycle, I don't see any reason why it won't continue, given the problems in increasing in terms of increasing supply, given the demand fueled by very rapid growth in countries with large populations around the world. And I think that's a wrap for another day. So all the best to all of you.